I don't think so. Even if they had the body, even if they did that impossible thing, these were still those terrified guys. They didn't want the Sanhedrin to even know they were there. But history tells us the next thing you know, they were going out into Jerusalem, into the temple, all these places, telling everybody that Jesus Christ was alive. So number one, it just doesn't make sense because the disciples were a bunch of wimps and it took the Holy Ghost to turn them into warriors for Christ. Number two is that people don't die for a lie. You have a lot of martyrs that will die for a lot of crazy, stupid things. I can name some, but I don't want to be offensive to, you know, I want to be a little bit politically correct. But you have a lot of people who will die for what they believe in, even if what they believe is absolute nonsense. But what you don't have is people who will die for what they know to be a lie. If the disciples had invented this story and concocted it, fabricated it out of thin air, why is it that every one of them, except for John, was put to death in a violent, barbaric way, and yet they went to their death with the praise of God on their lips, and not one of them ever recanted the story? They went to their death saying, you can do what you want, but Jesus Christ is alive, and he is my Lord and Savior. If it was a lie, they never would have happened. Somebody would have caved in. Somebody would have said, please don't do it. I'm sorry. It was a mistake. We made it all up. It's not true. But every one of them except John went to their death with that on their lips. And even John, they tried to kill him, but God preserved him. They tried to boil him alive in oil, and God miraculously preserved his life. So they figured, well, we'll just have to exile him on some island somewhere because apparently we can't kill him. And John never recanted either. Praise God. You know, I could almost see, you know, if they stole the body, it's kind of like Weekend at Bernie's, you know, running around Jerusalem, you know. I don't know if you guys ever saw that, you know. He's alive, you know. Okay, so swoon theory, hallucination, conspiracy theory, okay. And I love the next one. It's the most bizarre thing I ever heard. This is the evil twin theory. Yeah, just when you think you've heard it all, the evil twin theory is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. Basically, this is what it says. Somebody in Palestine around that time gave birth to twins right around the same time that Joseph and Mary gave birth to their baby. And somehow one of the twins got switched with Joseph and Mary's baby. And so the kid that they were raising that they named Jesus wasn't really, in fact, the real Jesus. It was one of the twins that had gotten switched from this other unidentified couple. And so this child grew up, you know, eventually became popular, did all these things. Everybody believed that he was the Messiah. But then he ran afoul of the authorities, so he got himself arrested, got himself put to death. And while he was hanging there on the cross, the other twin, just who also grown up now, just happened to be walking by visiting Jerusalem and saw, son of a gun, there's a guy on the cross that looks just like me. Oh my goodness, that's Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And so he conceived this plot in his mind that he would steal the body of Jesus and then go around and tell the disciples and everybody else that it was actually him risen from the dead. That's the evil twin theory. Yeah. There's only one problem with that. The absolute, utter, complete lack of evidence. There is nothing anywhere in any way, shape, or form that remotely even suggests that anything like that took place. Not a scrap of it. It is absolute, complete, and utter fantasy. Some guy thought up this bizarre evil twin story, published it somewhere, and now we have a story that some scholars actually thought held a lot of credible weight. Give me a break. Sometimes I think the more you learn, the less you know. Somehow you have to trade your common sense for your education. Good night. Total fantasy. No evidence, no eyewitnesses, no ancient documentation. I will take my evidence, my eyewitnesses, and my ancient documentation any day of the week over that kind of nonsense. But you have credentialed people that will believe that in a heartbeat because they refuse to believe the other. I was getting there. Yep. Thank you. In fact, it was the next line in my notes. As Matt was saying, perfect segue, brother. You have some people saying that, well, you know, back in those days, they would just throw the criminals in the dump, and that's actually what happened to Jesus. The reason you don't have a body is because they took him down, they threw him in the dump, and dogs ate the body. Well, there's only one problem with that. There is no record, there is no eyewitness, there is no evidence, there is no documentation that any such thing ever took place. And yet we have thousands of documents and living eyewitnesses and credible historical evidence that something else happened, and that is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So you can believe what you want, but show me the facts, show me the evidence, and I'll base my soul on what is true. You can say dogs ate him. You can say the evil twins stole his body. You can say Martians came down and plucked his body out of that thing and did experiments on it while they orbited the earth. But show me the proof. Show me the evidence. If you don't have it, don't come stepping to me with all this nonsense. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and we have eyewitnesses, we have evidence, and we have documents to show that it's true. Praise God. When you get some sociology teacher or some religious education teacher or some other, you know, certified lunatic that tries to tell you some concocted fairy tale or fantasy they have about Jesus Christ, tell them, show me the evidence. Show me your eyewitnesses. Name your names of those who were there to refute it. Because I'll tell you this, there was no refuting it. The best thing, the only other story that ever came out is exactly what the Bible says, and that is the Jews tried to say that the disciples stole the body while the guards slept. And as we said, you know, you're right, the ninja disciples snuck down with their nunchucks and, you know, stars and overpowered the guards and stole the body in the night and then lied about it and went to their deaths without recanting this lie. There's no other story. You will not find any ancient documents that say that dogs ate Jesus Christ. Serious up. You won't find it. Next time they tell you that, tell me, show me the evidence. Show me the dog story. Praise God. So when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, I want you to remember the three F's of the resurrection. The facts, the followers, and the faith. The facts, everybody say that with me, the facts, the followers, and the faith. The facts say that there is no other explanation for the empty tomb. There was no swooning, no hallucination, no conspiracy, and no evil twin. And the dogs weren't there either. The facts say that the only reasonable, the only documented, the only acceptable explanation for the empty tomb is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's the facts. We have eyewitnesses' testimony, the people who saw him and touched him and ate with him and went around with him and talked with him. We have even a creed that was quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:3 to 8. And I'm not going to put it up there, but it lists all the people who saw Jesus Christ personally after he arose. It said the disciples, and then Peter, and then James, and then 500 other witnesses, and last of all, me. And scholars say that that is actually a creed because of the structure and the grammar. It is actually a creed that was in circulation long before the Gospels were even written. In fact, there's evidence to say that this is what the disciples told to Paul when he first met with them within 3 years of the event actually taking place. So the facts say that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Number two, the followers. You look at the men who followed Jesus Christ and had testified that he had risen. We said before that they would rather die than recant their story, because they knew that Jesus Christ is alive. And you know what? When we go through the book of Acts, that's what you'll see them preaching. It's all through the book of Acts. Peter preached to the Jews and said that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Philip preached to the Samaritans and told them Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Paul preached to the Gentiles and told them that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. That's the gospel. That's what we are commissioned to go out and tell the world, that Christ is risen from the dead. So you have the facts, you have the followers, and finally you have the faith. And that is that Jesus Christ is still changing lives today. 2,000 years later, broken sinners are being made whole. People are being filled with His Holy Spirit. Their lives are being transformed. They are being set free from fear and addiction and dysfunction and torment. And they are being made into beautiful, glowing, alive believers in Jesus Christ. Even skeptics, some of the hardest skeptics, Josh McDowell included, Lee Strobel included, and many others, who set out to prove that Christianity was nothing but a bunch of bunk and garbage, to try to bring Christianity to its knees, they wound up on their knees in front of the Lord, serving Him, worshiping Him, loving Him, surrendering to Him. 2,000 years later, the faith is still changing the lives of people, from the hardest skeptic to the most desperate, broken person in the planet. So the next time somebody tries to come at you with some nonsense on TV or in a classroom or on a street corner somewhere, you tell them about the facts, you tell them about His followers, and you demonstrate the faith. Jesus Christ is alive, and He has commissioned His church, He's commissioned you and me to tell the world so they can know Him, because He is mighty to save. He can be known. He's not just some thing the preacher talks about on Sunday morning. You can know Him, man. You can meet Him in the morning and see His hand in your life all day long. He does signs and wonders. He does great providential things that take my breath away. Praise God, man.